Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. How you doing? PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. As you can tell, I've changed where I'm shooting service this morning. I'm actually shooting from our church location and not my home, because there's been too many golden retrievers barking in my home when I'm trying to do church. And so anyways, listen, I hope, as always, you got your coffee and you got your Bible and you're ready to hear from the Lord. I'm super excited about what God has for us as we're in this series we're calling Through the Wilderness. And as always, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the Word of God is number one, as always, any prayer requests that you have, please don't hesitate to email us at info@everynationnj.org. Or you can remain with us after service on our Facebook live feed, and you can meet with a virtual prayer counselor. Listen, the needs have been great during this time, but our God is even greater. And so we'd love to pray for you. Also, I want to remind you that we have virtual hospitality immediately following our services. And if you stay to the end of the service, there'll be actually a call-in number that you can call in to our Zoom video conference call that we just have this little chat room. And for some of you, it might be the first time you've spoken to an adult in the last 3 weeks. So we invite you to come join us for virtual hospitality, where we can talk about the service, get to know one another. And so we invite you to do that. And then last but not least, as always, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and in your giving. So I'll remind you of this. So we have Sam Buchholz in our church. He started a book club. Doesn't sound too cool, but actually is pretty great. And we just go through different books like once a month. And we went through this book called The Power of Habit by this guy, Charles Duhigg. And he says something fascinating. He said there's something called a keystone habit. And what that is, if you can do one habit, a keystone habit, it can affect all these other habits that will be created in your life. Like, there's all these domino effects where good things happen in your life. And he uses the example of exercise. He says, if you can create the keystone habit of exercise, then usually all these great things spiderweb out of that. So, for example, you'll tend to eat better. You'll sleep better. You'll be healthier. You'll be happier and more productive. And so all this stuff happens by one habit of exercising. And so that's where I want to encourage you. There's another amazing habit you have. It's actually more than a habit. It's being obedient to God. But I want to just give you a snapshot of all that's happening as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Do you know all these other things are taking place as you lay the tithe at the feet of Jesus, that you're actually worshiping God in your finances? Do you know this, that you're protecting yourself, that God says he would rebuke the devourer on your behalf, that you're protecting your heart? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, that you're actually opening up the windows of heaven that God might bless you. He says this, that when you lay down your tithe at the feet of Jesus, you're actually sowing seed that one day you'll grow and reap a harvest. And so I pray God blesses you as you're faithful to him. He says he will be faithful to us. And let me just remind you ways you can give digitally. You can go to our website at EveryNation or just encnj.org, and you can click on the giving icon, or you can go to our PushPay texting app. And all you have to do is text ENCNJ to 77977. That's how my family and I give. But then even if you're old school, as always, you can mail in your tithes and your offerings right here to our local church address at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. So, all right, that's it. Let's, what do you say we get into the Word of God? And as I mentioned earlier, we're in a new series, and we're calling it Through the Wilderness. And I've heard someone say this, that if you can't change your circumstances, then change the perspective. And so, like, there's circumstances and things that are out of our control in this COVID-19 pandemic. And so what I'd like to do today is I want to be able to shift your perspective to see things differently. I've heard it say this way in the book of Hebrews. It says that when we're to treat difficulty as training, that it says that God's allowing us to walk through difficulty or the wilderness. Why? That he might train us. It instantly sets off in my mind training camp. So if you're an athlete or possibly a military man, you understand basic training or training camp. And really what training camp is designed to do is two things, is to assess where you're currently at and then equip you to where you're going. I was reminded of one of my training camps. So they'll put us through a series of tests to see where we're at. And I remember we had to do a bench press test. We had to do 225 pounds for just as many times as we could do it. And goalies are a little bit different. And so if you're a goalie, don't get upset with me, but they're usually not quite as strong and athletic, you know, for that type of thing. And so we had one of our goalies was a French Canadian kid, Mario Goose Goslin. What a cool nickname, right? And Goose got on the bench press and they actually just had him do 135. So they took the bulk of the weight off. And I knew he was going to be in trouble when he asked, he says in this French Canadian accent, "Where do I put my hands there?" So he didn't know where to put his hands on the bench press bar. I thought, this is going to be fun. And sure enough, they got the bar off and it immediately dropped down. I thought it was going to chop his head off. And he just began to cry out. He says, "Get this ting off of me." And so we had a true assessment of where Goose was in his physical training. I remember another one in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Flyers that they actually flew our team into Peterborough, Ontario. And there we had a choice. You could do either a 5 mile run or a 21 mile bike. And so I chose the run, but little did I know it's going to be taking us through this mountain and hilly region of Peterborough. And, it was funny, just the dynamic of my thought pattern. We actually had one of the beat reporters, a news reporter that traveled with the team, and he was kind of boasting what a great athlete he is and blah, blah, blah. So he was going to do the run with us. Well, about 2 miles into the run, he started seizing up and cramping, and we all passed him as he was writhing in a ditch. And if you're asking, did we help him? No, he deserved that. He had that coming to him. So, but it was funny, the gamut that I ran as I was doing this endurance test is, I started off by saying, I'm going to win this race. And then probably a quarter of the way into it, I just thought, well, I'm never going to catch the guy in front of me, so I'll come in second. And then as the race continued, I was like, please God, let me just finish this race, until finally I just asked God to kill me and take me home. But I did get through the run, and but it's funny, like our walk with Jesus, at times it can feel like that training camp. God at times will put us through, allow us to walk through things, because why? He wants us to assess where we are, and he wants to prepare us to where we're going. And so I don't know if you know, but the salvation part of our life, the point where Jesus, he died on the cross, he gave us the free gift of salvation. Like, our part was just to believe, right? So it was free. So salvation is free, but your sanctification, that's going to cost you something. And sanctification is the process by which God makes you holy. So at salvation, God declares you to be holy and pure. And then at sanctification, he begins to make you holy and pure. And so Paul will say it this way, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So apparently Paul says we got to work out, and I can assure you that God will allow us to go through the wilderness at times to strengthen us, to assess where we're at, and to prepare us for where we're going. And so the wilderness, I need you to get it in your head. A lot of times here in the West or in the United States, when we think wilderness, we think trees. Don't think that. When the Bible refers to wilderness, think desert. Think barren, think wasteland. And so the wilderness, while it's not fun, it's absolutely transformative, because God allowed and put some of his biggest stars in the scriptures. He made them walk through the wilderness. Like Saul became the apostle Paul after he went through the wilderness. That John, the son of Zechariah, became John the baptizer after the wilderness. That David, he was the shepherd boy until he went through the wilderness, and then he became David, the king of Israel. On and on we can go. That even Jesus, as he started his ministry, the Father and the Spirit sent him through the wilderness, but he came out of that wilderness saying this, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so today I want to get a look at Israel. They went into Egypt and became a people. But when they left and went through the wilderness, they became a great nation. And so if I can catch you up on the story, I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, is Israel's in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. God raises up a deliverer. His name is Moses. I've always said this, you know you're a big deal if you only have one name, Moses. It's like Oprah or Jordan, right? And so Moses is raised up as a deliverer. I don't know if you realize, but actually God made Moses go through the wilderness 40 years, 40 years of training camp. And what God did in that 40 years, he removed pride from out of Moses' heart. How about this? He got Moses a wife. Her name was Zipporah. It means beauty. So he got himself a looker, all right? And then as well, he got himself a job. He became a shepherd. And he also got a calling where God called him back into Egypt to deliver his people out. And you remember the story? Moses goes to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And he refuses. And 10 plagues are unleashed on Egypt, until the final plague, which is the death angel, and if you had the blood of a lamb, the death angel would pass over you. Until so the firstborn of Egypt was killed, and finally Pharaoh, he relented and he released God's people. He says, go. But here's the strange thing, that God didn't send them directly into the promised land. The promised land was due east, but God sent them south. Isn't that crazy? He sent them south to go east. Why did he do that? Let me read for you Exodus 13, 17 through 18. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle." See, God took them the way of the wilderness. What? To prepare them to make it to their promised land. And so, here's the big takeaway. Hey, don't waste your wilderness. You're going to walk through it one way or the other. Don't waste it. I'm not sure how many are like me, but, my wife has had an inordinate amount of honey-do lists, and we've painted every last speck of our home. There's nothing left. We actually had to go outside this past week. So, but listen, we're making the most of this wilderness time. That the Apostle Paul, he made the most of his wilderness as he's locked up in a prison. What does he do? Sit and mope? Nope. He writes 2/3 of your New Testament, the epistles of Paul. He doesn't stop there. He's like, well, I might as well get these guards saved. He preached the gospel and gets Caesar's guards born again. And so here's the question I want you to ask. What is God wanting to do in you through the wilderness? So back about many, many moons ago, we used to have these places called gyms that you could go and work out in. I know none of you know what those are anymore. And one thing about when you go to the gym, I've always said this, like, I gotta have some tunes in my ears, because it pumps you up and it distracts you from the pain. I can remember one time I'm running on the treadmill and I got two kind of big guys next to me. And so we're dudes. We just got to kind of fake the funk. Like, this is easy. No problem. But I got my jams in. And next thing you know, I accidentally hit my iPod and the headphones popped out of them. So the music began to blare out and it revealed that I was listening to a Taylor Swift song. Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the, oh no. You'd think it was a hand grenade. I jumped on that thing. I would have had to turn in my man card if they had heard that. But you know, there's a song that God gives to us to help us through the wilderness. If I can refresh you with the story, like, God's people go out of Egypt, and as they go south, they approach the Red Sea, and their backs are up against the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh and his army is approaching, quickly approaching Israel. And so in a panic, they cry out to God, and God splits the Red Sea. They cross the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh, he continues to pursue through the Red Sea, and as they get into the middle of the Red Sea, God unleashes the waters of the sea, and they come crashing down on Pharaoh and his army. And as the waters begin to settle, and there's a silence, suddenly out of the silence erupts this song. And you can read about it in Exodus 15. It's the song of Moses. Like, listen, it's a song of victory. Where Moses and God's people, they begin to cry out, that was amazing. How strong are the arms of the Lord? And they begin to brag on God. And for the record, isn't that worship? Worship is just us bragging on God. God did this and God did this and God did this. For the record, by the way, you might want to look at that Exodus 15, the song of Moses. You better learn it, because the Bible says in Revelation 15 that we're going to be singing the song of Moses in heaven. God, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And so worship will help get you through the wilderness. You know, I've shared this story before, but in the book, Make Your Bed, is written by a Navy SEAL. And he was talking about going through Hell Week, and they actually take you out to the wilderness. They would take the trainees to the Tijuana mud flats. It sounds like a drink you'd get at a resort or something, but no, Tijuana mudflat, it's in the wilderness. And they've keep these trainees cold and wet and exhausted, and they need to do calisthenics through the mud. And so it's just exhausting, draining every last bit of strength out of them. And then they have to stay in the mud through the night. And as they're shivering and freezing, they give the offer of coming to a warm campfire and having a nice cup of warm coffee, if you'll just quit. And one of the trainees, he actually was exhausted, and his team could feel him beginning to give in. And once one gives in, then it makes room for others to give in. But before he could quit, one of the trainees began to sing until it was picked up by another and another, and they began to sing and cry out. And that guy that was weak suddenly was drawn back in, and he made it through his wilderness. I remember the Apostle Paul and Silas locked in prison. What did they do? They sang their way. They worshiped their way out of prison. Then we have David, the most prolific songwriter in the book of Psalms. Why? Because he was a man of the wilderness, and he knew he needed song to get him through. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, some of his last words were singing Psalm 22. And so Israel is coming out of Egypt through the Red Sea, singing the song of Moses, worshiping God for about 3 days, until they entered the wilderness and the song of Moses left their mouth, and another song that you and I are all too familiar with began to fill their mouth, grumbling and complaining. Listen, if you grumble and complain, it's going to keep you stuck in the wilderness. And so that's what happened to Israel. I'm going to pick it up. Our text today will be Exodus 15. I'll look at verses 22 to 26. It says this. It says, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. That's important. Take note of that. They went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, a better interpretation is a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Take note of that. He says, "I am the Lord your healer." And so let's see what God wants to do with this. So Israel, they enter the wilderness of Shur. There's multiple different wildernesses. I don't know, whatever the plural is. There's many wilderness that God takes Israel through, and we'll talk about them throughout this series. But the wilderness of Shur is unique. The word Shur, it means hemmed in or walled in. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Does that sound a little bit like sheltering in place, like being quarantined? So I always every now and then I begin to think, oh man, my parents, the parents that have small children throughout this time, like I'm sure it's a beautiful moment and all that, but it's gotta be tough. How you doing, parents? For the record, have you ever seen like some of these videos that people are uploading now? And it's funny, they do these things, to their kids. It's hysterical, but probably not the nicest thing in the world to do. But parents, every now and then you need a little payback. Okay. I don't know if you know this, but if you take diaper, the word diaper, if you read it backwards, it's repaid. And so just think of this next video series as being repaid. All right. I hope you enjoy this. So was that not cruel? Yes, but hysterical. And but here's a little bit more of a serious question, though. Have you ever been surprised by your sin? Like, listen, when things are going good, it's really easy to keep things in check in our heart and in our souls. But you just put a little pressure. You put a little stress on people. And is it amazing how these ugly parts of you begin to come and float to the surface? Oh, is it just me throughout this time? Just I have that, right? Yeah, listen, throughout this COVID-19, being locked up and being around people, I was surprised at times about some of the things that I did. How about this? Peter, if you remember Peter in the Bible, that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and he was sure that he would never do something like that. But it just took the right stressors to make him deny Jesus, not once, not twice, 3 times. And nobody was more surprised than Peter. I mentioned we've been painting our entire house, and I don't know why. I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So when I paint, I get really anxious and uptight. Pray for me, okay? And I remember we were just finishing up our kitchen, and I'm stepping down from the ladder, and I stepped into the paint can. And I just let out a son of a gun. But to be honest with you, I didn't say gun. Okay. Don't judge me. But see, there's something inside of me. The Bible says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Hey, something's wrong and ugly inside of there that shouldn't be. I know some of our parents, you've lost your mind on your kids anywhere from 8 to 8,000 times during this COVID-19. I know for some of you married couples that when you hear the word COVID-19, you're not going to think pandemic and disease. You're going to think that was the time when I fought nonstop with my spouse. There's others of you that throughout the stressors of this COVID-19 pandemic that, see, you thought you were strong. You were a beast in the faith. And what this revealed was you're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as strong as you think you are. And so, listen, the wilderness, it will begin to magnify and expose what's already inside of you and inside of me. So, fellas, I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I have all daughters and a wife, and so I got a lot of women in my home. Women have these special mirrors that magnify things like 10 billion times. I have no idea why they have these things, because like you look into them and it looks like there's been like you're looking at the moon, the surface of the moon, like there's craters and all this nasty stuff. And you're like, what on earth is that? Oh, that's my face. And so I just have to ask my girls the question. I'm like, why do you do that to yourself? Like, dudes are like, whatever, I don't care. But fellas, I would ask you this. Maybe a better question would be this. Why pretend that that's not really there? Listen, and I think that's what some of us do. We just kind of bury these things, the ugly parts of us. And God's saying, no, I want to bring those to the surface so we can deal with those things. There's a great book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. It was a New York Times bestseller, but he had one of these principles to become great, was you just got to face the brutal facts, yet maintain this unshakable faith. But he says, you got to be honest with the junk inside of you. The 12 steps for AA, they're like, hey, you want to get healed? You want to get well? Then here's what you have to do. The fourth step is this, is you have to take a fearless moral inventory of your life to face the brutal facts. But here's the good news of the gospel. See that the cross of Jesus Christ declares once and for all that we can be brutally honest with God, and yet it's a safe place because he paid for the ugly parts of us 2,000 years ago on the cross. And so we can be secure yet honest with ourselves and with God. And so, but here's what I love is if you remember in the text is that they're bitter. This stuff is spewing out of Israel. But God says, listen, I want to heal that. And do you remember how he did it? It says that Moses, he threw in a log or a tree is what it says. And the tree healed the waters and made the bitter sweet. Now, if you've spent any time with us here at Every Nation New Jersey, you know we've talked about that we're actually living between the trees. If you the Bible is a story of three trees, the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and humanity sin against God and are broken away out of relationship with him. And then at the end of time in Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, and we get the tree of life, and then the thing that time turns on is the crucifixion of Christ, where Jesus was hung on a tree on our behalf. And that's the tree that makes the bitter parts of our life sweet again. Because God says, I want you to lay the ugly parts of you, your sin, your anger, your impatience, to repent. Lay them at the foot of Jesus, at his cross, at the tree. And the promise is this, I want to heal you. I want to heal you. Like Jesus, he doesn't come to condemn us. He says, no, are you kidding me? I've come to heal those parts of you that one day you might be fully whole. And so the question I want you to answer is this, is what is God putting his finger on through this pandemic, through this wilderness? What are the areas of your life that God's saying, hey, that's ugly. We need to deal with that. We need to confess it so that I might heal it. And then here's the second part is this is the wilderness of Shur. It means hemmed in. And once again, I mentioned that it's a good thing to be hemmed in when it comes to faith. Like, you don't want to have any escape routes. You just, faith, you need to be all in. And at the end of the day, like, this is the main crux of what I want you to take away from the message today is, listen, we need to be an all in people with God. Because God is all you need. I heard this quote this week. I thought it was so great. You don't realize God is all you need until he's all you have. You don't realize that God is all you need until you realize he's all you have. And in this moment, listen, we control nothing. And yet what we can do is cling to God, the God who has all the answers. And so, great coaches, they're great at hemming people in. the iconic coach Tom Landry of the Dallas Cowboys. And I know right now the Giant fans, they're rolling their eyes at me, Cowboys, right? But Tom Landry, he said this. He says, "I'm here to make men do what they don't want to do so they can become who they want to become." What he's saying is this: I'm here to hem them in so that they can become who they want to become. And so I know the best coach I've ever had in my life with this guy, Bert Templeton was his name. And he was one of these coaches where I hated him because he was so demanding of me. And yet I loved him because he was so demanding of me, if that makes any sense at all. But he would continually hem me in. I remember I was starting to slack in my schoolwork, and so he called me into his office, and I was giving him all these excuses while I couldn't make it to class. And then he just asked me this: "Hey, if I was to offer you $1 million to make it to class and never miss a day, you think you could do that?" And I'm like, yes. And so, for the record, I've used that on my children the rest of all their days growing up. And or as well, if I tried to be lazy in practice, he would chase me down on the ice, and he would say, "Bert, if you quit now, you're going to quit sooner the next time, and sooner the next time, and sooner the next time." See, what he was doing is he was shutting the doors. He was hemming me in, not allowing me to quit or to be lazy. It's why we love CrossFit, isn't it? CrossFit, listen, they lock you into this room, into a box, and then they don't let you leave for 1 hour. Or you have to have shame from all the people in your CrossFit group. All right. And so, listen, you hate it, but there's no escape. And at the end of it, what? Oh, you're so grateful that they hemmed you in and they saw you through that difficulty because you love the results. Okay. So enough athlete analogies. Maybe you're not the athlete. Maybe you're the Trekkie nerd or the Star Trek guy or whatever. Or Star Wars. And so then I'll take you to your greatest coach, Yoda. You remember we were introduced to Yoda, the green Muppet guy. And then do you remember he's coaching up young Skywalker, and he's trying to use the Force and move these stones. And Yoda entreats him again. "Hey, use the Force, Luke." "Sorry, that's all I got. It's the best I had." And he's trying to get them to use the Force to move the stones. And Skywalker, he says this: "I'll try." And do you remember Yoda's response? "Do or don't do. There is no try." And that, my friends, is the life of faith. And that's where we find ourselves. God is going to, he's hemming us in because he's a good coach. And we're not going to try to believe God. We are going to believe God as a people, that he's going to see us through this wilderness, and we're coming out of the other side into a land of promise. But here's what we need. You're not going to try to believe. You need to be all in, 100% belief in faith. You need to choose to believe that God is good. You need to choose to believe that he's faithful. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You got to choose to believe that God is omnipotent and he is in control, and he's going to work all things out for your good in his glory, that he's going to be the God who provides and protect. And so we need to be an all-in people, that God is hemming us in for our good. Listen, Every Nation New Jersey, we will not be a halfway people, because halfway people, they stay stuck in the wilderness, and we're just not going to do it. Listen, nobody likes halfway people. Listen, God doesn't. The book of Revelation says this. He says, "I wish you were hot or cold," but he says, "Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." Like, God doesn't like halfway people. I'm going to speak to men. Men, you know, women, ladies hate halfway men. Like, dude, get off the fence. Either you're in or you're out. Make a decision. And fellas, for the record, you'll make a decision and your girl will love it, but she'll disagree with it. Okay. But it's okay. At least you made a decision. I'm going to speak to parents. Like, children, they despise halfway parents. Don't be the halfway parent. Now more than ever, mom and dad, you have to contend for the real estate of your child's heart. And listen, parent, if you're the halfway mom or dad, halfway believing God, you know what you're going to produce? Total indifference in your kids. And so it's on you to be passionate followers, all-in followers of Jesus Christ. It's why Joshua said this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so Every Nation New Jersey, we are going to be an all-in people with God. And so I'm going to close with this. I'm not sure how many have heard of the All-In Challenge. This is where they're actually raising funds to give to various charities that are helping our frontline workers and those struggling through this COVID-19 pandemic. It's pretty amazing stuff where celebrities and stars, they offer up these packages. So for example, Tom Brady, Tom Terrific, is offering up a jersey, a trip to a game and dinner with him. Shaq is offering up a 3-on-3 game against him. There's another one. The best I heard was Drake. Drake is going to fly you across country to his Los Angeles club, and there you can go to a concert with him. He's going to take you to dinner and all these. So listen, my all-in challenge, I'm not a celebrity, and I got nothing to give you, but I do have a promise. And here's my all-in challenge for you. If you'll go all in with Jesus Christ through this season, that God's going to see you through the wilderness. He's going to provide. He's going to protect. He's going to make a way for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're the faithful God. Lord, that you take us through the wilderness, not to crush us, but Lord, that we might assess where we are and that you might lead us into a land of promise. Lord, I pray now just for the gift of faith to arise in the hearts of men and women. Oh, Lord, that you're good and that you're faithful and that you're going to see it through. In Jesus' name, and all God's people better say, amen. God bless you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.